is faithful. Truly he is. It's exciting to see what the Lord is going to do this morning. It's exciting to see what he's already done this morning. How exciting is that? It was like, oh, God is faithful. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we are truly, truly grateful that not only are you here, but Father, you're walking amongst us. You're answering prayers even as we sit here. Father God, you're touching hearts and you're touching lives, and we just thank you, Father God. You are real. You are so real to us, Father God. You're not just somebody in a book. Father, you are there walking and keeping us each and every day. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was asked to come and to share, there was a lot going on in our lives as well. When he called, he says, can you do this weekend? I said, yeah. And all of a sudden I said, whoa, wait a minute. We just had a death in our family, and I may be needing to go and to be a part of that too. And I said, no, I think I'll be okay. And so there's just been a lot. And when I listen to different ones and their prayer requests and the things that are going on in people's lives, I have seen turmoil, a lack of peace. And so when I was asking the Lord, Lord, what would you like me to speak on this morning? He very, very specifically put in my heart, walking in the peace of God, walking in the peace of our Heavenly Father. The Lord has a plan for our lives. He has something for us each and every day. However, there are stresses that literally can be overwhelming. There are things that come at us. You know, everybody says, oh, you're Christians. When I was young and I became a Christian, I was just, basically, I probably was a Christian from the time I can say Jesus, because I was raised in a situation. But when I was a younger person, like a teenager, I really went forward and gave my heart to the Lord. But I was in a church that said, you know, if you come and be a Christian, if you just give your heart to the Lord, and I was like about 12, all your troubles will be over. Well, at 12 years old, you don't have a lot of troubles. Excuse me. But I thought it sounded good. And once I gave my heart to the Lord, it just didn't seem like all my troubles went away. So I thought, well, maybe I need to go get saved again. Because it just didn't work that way. And as I became an older Christian in the Lord began to show me that there are stresses in our lives. There are things that come at us. There are things that walk behind us that want to overwhelm us. And it is sometimes difficult to walk in the peace of God. There are times when we literally become overwhelmed. I have a little book that someone gave to me a long time ago, and they put a little thing in there so that they could write, and they didn't, and I wish they would have, because I would like to remember who gave this to me. But it's called The Presence of His Peace. And inside of it, there's a contemporary rendering of the 23rd Psalm. So they take liberty, but at the same time, it touched my heart, and it says, the Lord is my strength, I shall not panic. He helps me relax and rest in quiet trust. He reminds me that I belong to Him, and He restores my serenity. He leads me in my decisions and gives me calmness of mind. His presence is peace. Even though I walk through the valley of the fear of failure, I will not worry, for He will be with me. His grace, His truth, and His loving kindness will stabilize me. He prepares release and renewal. I love this. He prepares release and renewal in the midst of my stress. He anoints my mind with wisdom. Thank you, God. I could use more. My cup overflows with fresh energy. Oh, surely goodness and mercy will be communicated through me. Listen, surely goodness and mercy will be communicated through me. For I shall walk in the strength of my Lord and dwell in His presence forever and ever. Amen. That just gives me goosebumps even reading that. There are things that are coming against us as Christians on a daily basis. that really can be, literally the word would kept coming to me, overwhelming. It's like a cloak that literally just shadows or comes over us. He has called us and he has equipped us for the life that he has called us to. Listen again. He has called us and he has equipped us for the life he has called us to, meaning that he will give us what we need in the day that we need us. However, we have an enemy. That enemy is called the devil. And the devil likes to run and chase behind us and lie to us. And he literally is the enemy of our very being, the enemy of our soul. And he would be glad to have us run and be weary. But what does the word say? Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I love it. We're going to soar like the eagles. We're going to run and we're going to walk and we're not going to faint. We won't be weary. But here's the truth. Here's life. Here's the reality. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we get weary. Sometimes we faint. Sometimes we can't run. We can't walk. We can barely crawl. Why do you think that happens? Is it a lack of faith? I don't think so. It's because we live here on planet Earth. And because we live here on planet Earth, we have things that will come against us. It's not our lack of faith. It's not because we're less of a Christian. It's because the enemy wants to do his dead level best to bring us down into the mully grubs and cause us to be less than what God wants us to be. God gave us a roadmap, and the roadmap is Isaiah 40:31. But those that wait on the Lord, wow, they shall renew their strength. Wait on the Lord. I love Jeremiah 29:11-13. Jeremiah 29:11-13 says, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me, and you will find me when you search for me with your whole heart." Wow. This is another part of the roadmap, another part of the key, another part of the search. God has a plan for us. I love to say he doesn't have a plan B for me. God has a plan for me. God has a perfect plan for me. His plan is perfect. The key is to trust him. Back 13 years ago, had a situation come up in our lives. We lived on a piece of property with family members. And this was a piece of property. We were given like 10 acres. We had our little home on there, and a total of 40. We were thinking this is where we were going to retire. This was our forever home, our forever place, up on a hill overlooking a lake about a mile away. Family members close by, and another 40 acres, another set of family members. This was our forever home. And after close to 10 years at that point, the Lord began to show us this was not going to be our forever home. And it was like, wait a minute, we really thought this was our forever home. Then in the 11th year, it was like, not only is this not your forever home, you're going to have to move, and you're going to have to move soon. It was a situation that came up, and we didn't really have a choice. We couldn't stay. The property couldn't be split. And so we had to move. And we moved, and we moved into the upstairs little area of my grandmother's home. She was 90 years old at the time, and she loved it dearly. But that wasn't my plan. That wasn't my forever home, living up in the attic. It wasn't really an attic. It was a couple of rooms. But it wasn't my forever home. And then the Lord says, "And now I want you to leave this ministry you've been in for 25 years. That wasn't my plan. That wasn't even near my plan. That wasn't what I thought that was supposed to happen to me. And then the next thing was, not only that, but you're getting ready to leave. Okay, I'm leaving the ministry. No, you're leaving the state. That was not my plan. That was not my hope. That was not my goal. That was not my forever hope. That was not leaving my mom and my family and my friends and the ministry and all that meant so much to me. That was not my plan. But God had a plan. And I had to sit back and in my screaming in my head, literally, I finally listened. And when I listened, God said, "You're to move." And I started giving him all the reasons why I thought he was wrong. Imagine that, little old blonde-headed me telling God how come what his plan is not right. This is not your plan. This is plan B. Can't be plan A. And when I finally settled, the Lord showed me this is plan A. And when we came here and we moved here, and I had to be here for 1 year to the very day, 1 year to the very day without my husband. June 1 to June 1 without my husband and my son and I here. It was probably the backside of the desert experience for me because I knew, number one, I was where I was supposed to be. God sent me here. But at the same time, I was never more alone, never more. I preached success in the Lord, trusting God. He will help you through it. And I had a year of hell, excuse the expression in the pulpit, but it's a real place. And I happened to find myself there in my living room. I told my husband, I feel like I'm licking the white walls of my room. Just It was horrible. But it was God's plan for my life. It was not a fun plan. It wasn't my plan. It was God's plan. And after a year of absolute just, oh God, literally, the Lord began. In fact, it was like about 9 months in, he began to show me his plan. And it took about 9 months before it was awful. At 9 months in, the Lord began to show me this is the plan. Okay, and finally, after a few months in, I had to say, God, I can't understand it. I don't understand. I made 13 trips to California in 12 months, all driving. I just couldn't stand being away from my baby. And it was hard for me. But when I finally, after about 9 months, realized this is it. This is God's plan. You have to shut up, head. Shut up, heart. Quit coming against the plan of God for my life and listen to what he has to say. And when I finally sat down and shut up, God began to open doors. But I had to listen. I had to be quiet in my spirit and quit fighting against the Lord. And it was tough. When I finally said, okay, I will do it through clenched fists, I will do it. And then the Lord began to open up the doors. A job opened up that was an amazing, amazing opportunity. It was a miracle opportunity, that God gave me and gave us resources so that my husband could come and live with me. That's what held him back. I didn't have a job. But he gave me a job that not only allowed him to come, but allowed him to retire. It was a God thing. After being in the ministry for 25 years, you don't go in the ministry to make money. It don't happen that way. But the Lord began to just bless us. And it was a miracle. It was. And then my son found his sweet wife, who gave me two sweet babies. That was a God thing. But I couldn't see it then. And I had to. Number one, I had to be quiet in my spirit. I had to trust him, and I had to look at his plan A, not my plan B. My plan B was a good plan, but it was the enemy of the best plan. My plan was nothing wrong with my plan. I'm with my family. I'm with my friends. I'm there where I'm supposed to be, I thought, but that was my plan. That was a good plan, but it wasn't God's best plan. And you know, when I finally realized, okay, God, I will accept your best plan for my life. Now give me peace. And over the next 3 months, he began to give me peace. I began to put into place what I knew. I began to trust him. How many people do you know that really are strong in the Lord, but when things happen, sometimes they fall apart? I fell apart for 9 months. I was not a happy person, and I wasn't fun to be around. I'd go and be with my husband, and I think he was glad when I left. That's a terrible thing to admit, but it was true. One of my favorite stories in the Bible, and I have a lot of favorites. I love Joseph. He's like my buddy in the faith. But Esther, or Hadassah, her Hebrew name, about Esther in the Bible. Here's a young girl who was a virgin, a young girl who had plans for her life. She had plans for her life, and her plan was not to be taken from her family. Her plan was not. But here came the Lord's perfect will for her life. And here came Hadassah, a beautiful young woman, stood out in the community, and the Lord said, I want to use you to save a nation. I want to use you to make a difference in your community. And here comes Hadassah skipping down the road, and here comes someone from the king's palace going, that's a beautiful person. And they may have thought that was their idea, but it was God's idea. And God allowed her to be taken into this palace. And bless her heart, if you ever read the story, I don't go into all of it, but it had to be horrific for a young girl, prepared for a king for a year, put through the things that she went through for that year. Oh my gosh, it was tough for her. But God had a plan for her life. She was there to save her people. She was there because she was there to save a nation. She was brought and put in a position and was given favor. And because of the favor that she was given, she saved her nation. God had a plan for her life. But then there was Haman. Haman came, and Haman was like the devil. And Haman had a plan to destroy the nation. And he had no clue that his queen was Hebrew, was Jewish. And because of that, and I know that the Lord kept that from him, because he would have done it in a different way. But the Lord kept him away from the knowledge. But then God opened up the plan, and he used her cousin. Everybody says it's her uncle, but Mordecai was her cousin. And he used her cousin to come in and lead her and guide her in the way that the Lord would have her be. And he used her because he had a plan A for her life, not a plan B. She walked in what God gave her, and God gave her favor. She trusted him, and he gave her favor. She could have been killed. She walked before the king without permission, but God had favor upon her, and she trusted him. Our Lord will give us favor when we walk in our lives. There are things that we walk through or into, and it's like, God, can I do this? God, do I have to do this? God, why do I have to do this? Why? Why are you making me do this? And God says, you know what? I'm not going to give you all the answers right now. That's where the word trust comes from. You will trust me, and I will take you through this. Trust me. But in that trust sometimes comes fear. We have to push down the fear. Okay, I'm going to trust you. Well, reality is real. I mean, the real truth is sometimes when we're trusting in the midst of our turmoil, fear comes in. I was looking at some paperwork and going through some things, and I came across the word fear and how they broke it down into a sentence, taking each letter and making it a word. F a word, E a word, A a word, and R a word. F stands for false. F equals false. E, the letter E in the word fear, equals evidence. And then in parentheses, they had the word that. Then came the word A, or letter A, and A equals appears. And then the letter R equals the word real. False evidence that appears real. Whoa. False evidence. The enemy would like us to look at things that they do appear when the Lord's saying, don't look at things as they appear. Trust in me. False evidence that appears real. If you're listening to the enemy of your soul, you will be in the mully grubs and you will go down Literally, you will go down. But the Lord says, don't look at the things that they appear. Don't look at what the enemy throws up on the billboard going, look at what's happening. Look what's next. Look where you're going to go. Listen to what is out there. No, the Lord says, don't listen to what's out there. Listen to what's in here. Listen to what I have for you. Trust in me, not in what you see, not in what you hear. Trust in what I will lead you and guide you into. The enemy would like us to lean into our own understanding of our situation, but we must solely trust in him. He knows the end from the beginning. God wants to release power inside of us. There is a power in us. I call it like this little gift that's inside of us, this treasure that's inside of us, this little box that's inside of me. And inside that box is power. Inside that box is presence, his presence. And he wants to lift that lid of that box inside of us. And in his presence, there is power. But if we aren't careful, we will keep that lid on. Fear will do that. Lack of trust will do that. Lack of faith will leave the lid on the box. But if we can take that lid off, and let that aroma, that sweet aroma, that sweet presence of his life inside of us. He's in us. He doesn't want to be held back. He says, open that up and trust in me. Listen to me. When we go before the Lord in praise and worship, I love our praise and worship here. I love it. When we go before the Lord in praise and in worship, I sense his power in me. It's like I'm lifting that box off. It's like I let everything go and I just let God. I love praise and worship because I'm not just singing a song. I am literally going. Ty came up this morning and I'm in there. I mean, I'm in my place. And Ty comes up and gives me a big hug. And I said, man, I just about said an awful word. Scared me so bad because I was there. But I was literally standing. I was like, in fact, it's kind of like this. It was like there was this aisle, and at the end of the aisle, down at the end of the aisle, was this throne, and I could just see the Lord there, and I was literally just standing there and just walking into his presence. When I am in my praise and worship place and listening to the music and the songs, and I put myself in a place of God, your presence is powerful, and I am not going to come into praise and worship and just sing a song so we can get to the word. I am going to make this a part of my worship, my time with you, because in that is a release. It's a part of what God has for us each time we walk into this place or whatever place he has for us. God wants to release his power in each of us. In his presence, there is power. When we go before the Lord, he wants us to walk out as giants in the faith. We need to walk out bigger than when we walked in. There are times when I come in and I am just beat down. I mean, things happen. Things happen in our lives and it just beats us down. And sometimes I walk in, sometimes I have literally crawled in. You think I'm walking in with a smile? I crawl in and I'm here. And when we begin to praise and we begin to worship, I put my thoughts towards my God. And I open up my box, and that sweet smell, aroma of my Lord begins to just come, and his presence begins to flow, and his power begins to flow inside. And that's what he wants for us this morning. In his presence is a treasure, and in that presence, there is a treasure for each one of us. I began to think about treasures, and as I was writing this down and thinking about the treasures in our lives, and the Lord brought to my mind, some treasures come in a hard way. I'm going, okay, the pearl inside the oyster. You open up an oyster, and there's this pearl. Well, this pearl didn't just show up inside this oyster. A little teeny grain of sand came in and began to irritate that oyster. Oh, ow, ow. And then this molding began to go around it so it would protect the oyster. But what it was this beautiful pearl, they began to just be created inside of there. And the Lord says, that's me inside of you. When the irritants of life come and you allow it, I will just make a pearl out of that nasty, ugly thing. I will take that and make that beautiful. What was once ugly and what was once a hurt and a pain, if you allow me, I will make it beautiful. I love being in Idaho now. I go back to California regularly, and I am so glad to leave. Don't tell my family, but it's so true. Don't tell nobody. God gave me a gift when he allowed me to come here. I didn't see it as a gift. I saw it as sand. No, a boulder. And it was hard to put a good thing around that boulder. It just was. But God made a good thing, a wonderful thing. Inside of us are treasures. And the Lord began to put in my heart, Sandy, some treasures are buried. Some treasures are hard to find. But I will give you clues to find it if you will seek me. If you will listen to me, if you will come before me, I will open up your heart and your mind and begin to show you the roadmap to the treasures that are inside of you. The key is, and we go back to the word, listen. Listen. The other one, recognizing the thoughts he has towards us. If you ever, when we were kids, we would play a game and we would hide things and then we'd come up with clues on how to find it. That's kind of way I see the Lord with us. There are things inside of us, and if we will listen to him, he will give us clues on how to find it. And then the Lord began to, last night he gave me this one, and it was, and I love this. It's an analogy of how gold is refined. I love to watch this little old program on TV, and it's the gold miners in Alaska. These crazy guys doing all these things. I love that program, and I love it at the end when they come up with all this gold. But when they get the gold initially and they're playing in it, it's black and it's ugly and it's got impurities in it, and there's stuff in it. And how do they make that gold beautiful and pure? They refine it in a fire. And there was an illustration that was given years ago by a guy I absolutely loved. His name was Ben Kinchlow, years ago. And he came with this story, and I never forgot it. I can still see his face. And he said they brought this gold and put it in a pot. And inside, underneath the pot, this big old pot, they made a fire under the pot. And it was the job of the refiner to heat this gold up. And then the impurities would rise to the top. And then this guy would take this piece of equipment and he would just slough off the impurities off to the side. And then heat it up again and heat it up again. And the impurities would rise to the top. And he would slough off the top. And if he would look down and his face looked like that, there were still impurities. So they'd heat it up some more. And when he could finally look down into that pot and see a perfect reflection of his face, then the gold was pure. And the Lord last night said, Sandy, that's what I want for my family, my body of Christ. There are things inside of us. There are things inside that I want to bring to the top. And how do I bring it to the top? With fire, with things in our life that brings things to the surface that shows us who we really are. If we can't handle stresses and we get mad or we get frustrated or we get snippy or we get nasty, the Lord's saying, I'm putting a fire under your little bottom and I'm raising things to the top that I would like for you just to remove. That doesn't look pretty. That doesn't look nice. That's kind of ugly. I'm not seeing myself in that. Let's heat this up and bring that up. And it's like, oh man, that hurts. But you know what? This time I'm going to handle that a little bit better. I'm going to handle that with more grace. I'm going to handle that with more of the Christ in me than the Sandy in me. And pretty soon, if you allow him to, he'll see his perfect reflection in you. And the peace of God will reign in you. When the things that come against you start to bring up that yuck inside, and you can say, no, in the name of Jesus, I will walk in his peace. I will walk in his grace. Let the fire come, because I will be a better person through this. I recognize what the Lord is doing, and I will walk. I will walk in his strength. I will walk in his power. I will walk in his might. I will walk in his presence. I will walk in such a way that he will look back and go, now that's my kid. I see him a perfect reflection of my kid in that situation. That is our God. Walking in the peace of God is not always easy. It's not always fun. I mean, reality is reality. I could stand up here and say, you know, you do these things and you're going to have peace the rest of your life. No, probably by the end of the day, you're going to be going, well, there goes the heat. It's rising again. Let's slough that off. Because we live in human bodies, because we have family, because we work, because we have our daily routines, there are going to be things that come against us. But the key to remember is to trust him. Isaiah 40:31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. We need his strength. We get so busy, so caught up, so demanded upon our times that we do not take the time to wait on him. 5 minutes in the bathroom just doesn't cut it. You're multitasking, folks. It just doesn't work. A closet, a place that's really a place just for you and him. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Then they shall mount up with wings like eagles, meaning soar up through the, literally through the worst of the worst of the worst storms. Then you can run and you won't be weary. You can walk and you won't faint. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three men who decidedly held on to their God. They had it together. They still had trouble. They had it together, and still the world came against them. They knew their God in such a way they would not be put down or be told to do something that would come against their faith. But the world came against them. And the head of that land of that day got so angry, he says, go make a fire and we will throw them in it. And the fire was so hot that when the men that took them to put it in, it flared up in such a way that the men that threw them into the fire died because the fire was so hot. But guess what? As they fell into that fire, they stood up. Strong as you please, and the three men in the fire became four. There became a fourth man in that fire, and that fourth man walks with us every single day. He walks through the fire with us. Guess what? When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked out with the shackles that they were tied with off and their clothes not scorched and didn't even smell like smoke, when they walked out of that fire, they walked out in the strength of the knowledge they had been face to face with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Lord says, in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your trials, look up, because the fourth man is in the fire with you. And if you walk the way I'm asking you to walk, you will walk out of that fire, not proud of yourself, but proud of your God. Proud of your God, and you won't even smell like smoke. That's my heart for each and every one of us, and myself number one, absolutely myself number one. There's been a lot of stuff that's come against me personally in these last months, year. It's been a long year. It's been a long year. But the Lord has shown me that if I will keep my eyes upon him, if I will trust in him, if I will hold on to his hand and not let go, I will see the fourth man in that fire with me. I will walk out of that fire better person for have been in the fire, more refined because of what he has done in my life, and an example to those that are around. Don't we want to be that? Or do we want to be, wow, isn't she a Christian? I mean, really, we must learn to walk in the peace of our Almighty God and recognize the fourth man in the fire with us. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, thank you so much for all that you do, for all that you lead us through, because through is the operative word. We will go through things because we live here on this earth. You said we would have trouble, but at the same time, Father, you said you would walk with us through the fire. Father God, we thank you and we praise you. And Father, we trust you. We recognize, God, that as Christians, life is not going to get any easier. Not at all. The enemy is so ticked off at the Christians in this world that many are being beheaded. Many are being just tortured. We live in a place, Father God, where we're somewhat protected. Father God, I pray for those that are not, that are walking through the fire even as we speak right now, and Lord, don't have the protection that we have. I pray, Lord, that you will help them this day too. Lord, we love our brothers and sisters all over the world that are loving you in no matter what position that they find themselves. Father, I pray for this body this morning, our family, that Father, as we go about our business this week, Father, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, each one of us have our own valleys to go through, our own fires to walk through, our own turmoil that we walk right back into when we walk out of this building. But at the same time, Father God, you will take our hand and we will walk with you. You will carry us through when we can't walk. Father God, you will stand with us when we need to stand, and that you will help us come through the other side because you love us. We're your kids. You are our Abba Father. You're not a man on the wall. You're not a person in a song. You are in our hearts and in our lives, and you live with us each and every day. Thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit that lives inside of us each and every day and guides us each and every day. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.